A lesson for today is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I just received written notice that someone has been thinking especially of me, noting my need for a place of respite and retreat. They had thoughtfully taken the time to select just the right mountain home to meet my needs. They even know my cell phone number, which they use to reach out to me. If I would just accept their gracious hospitality for a few days, the prize that was coming to me would be disclosed. We also received notification, this time in a letter from the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, and we too have been chosen by God. And I suspect we received both notifications with about the same level of enthusiasm. We know there's a catch somewhere. Several weeks ago, I heard a radio talk show host discussing sweepstakes winners. According to the radio guy, winning has a downside. The official rules often state that if you accept the prize, you must allow your name or picture to be used for other promotional activities. They apparently live with you in some cases for a whole year with cameras rolling. And as it turns out, there's more to winning than simply collecting the special prize. Once you are chosen, something is expected of you. Now we read Paul with the same reservations. Where's the catch? What does God expect from those who are chosen? Looking at the official rules, God chose us, Paul writes, before the foundations of the world to be holy, to be blameless. Chosenness is not just collecting eternal life. God expects us to refocus our lives and devote ourselves to holiness. Now, can you hear the great sucking sound? As far as we're concerned, someone just sucked all the oxygen out of the room. All our options just got closed down. We want to live the way we want to live, right? It's all about our choices. Full-time holiness is not a box we would readily check. Always doing things for other people, always spending our money on other people, making every effort to resist evil, vengeful, lustful thoughts, never speaking an unkind, untrue, or unfair word, spending time, substantial time each day in prayer, trying to be decent, sympathetic, thoughtful all the time, smiling when we don't feel like it. Holiness, holiness, holiness all the time. Can you feel the excitement building? I think it's impossible to conceive of what Paul means when we think of it in terms of our daily lives. So I want to try something else. Ryan, Hadley, William, Luke, Annabelle, Quinn, Amzie, Georgia, Michael, Alex, Ellie, Audrey, Amber, Maggie, and James have been notified by me that they've been chosen. These are the names of my confirmands. And I can tell you, as far as I'm concerned, Paul's language is not too grand when it comes to them. I can also tell you there are not sweepstakes prizes large enough to express their value to their parents, to their families, to their friends, to me, and to this church. You cannot name a number big enough to show what those who love them have invested in them, or expresses what they mean to all of us. And moving in with the camera for a year, nothing compared to what they have to endure from their parents and their teachers and their friends. You see, when we talk about our children, a word like holiness, which means of sacred worth, set apart, special, given for larger things, makes perfect sense. That these young people are holy and blameless before us because of the power of our love, as Paul says, is not too far-fetched. We struggle for words big enough to express the love we feel for our children. I have a friend who is just besotted with his daughter. He puts it this way: when she itches, I scratch. It's perfect. We even know what it means to say they are holy, of sacred worth, set apart. Why? Not because of their behavior, I assure you, but because of our love. So it turns out that this is not a closing down of life, as we first suppose, but a life so full, so joyful, so expansive, that words get in the way of the wellspring of value that we seek to express. Now, that's not how my confirmands hear it. They hear that great sucking sound. As far as they are concerned, the oxygen just left the room. But I can tell you that this sense of chosenness and sacredness goes over real well with their parents. They want the largest possible life for their children. So they worry. They worry. They worry all the time. They worry about everything. They worry about what their children eat, who their friends are, what the heck is going on in social media, how they're doing in class. They worry about destructive habits that will limit the vitality. They know that these precious ones, so loved, will need for fullness of life. We want others to treat them well. We want them to nurture productive relationships. We want them to take risks that lead to greater rewards. We want them to live in ways that reflect how good and special we know them to be. It is my personal faith that God has so arranged this world that we would know both the delight and the frustration of such love. So we would know exactly what Paul means, so that we would glimpse both the joy and the pain of God, whose children we are. Rick and I like to watch old movies during the holidays. We watched an oldie goldie the other night called The Love Letter. The premise of the movie is that people in a town in New England discover a beautifully written love letter. But they know neither the sender nor the intended recipient. Each one who comes across the letter is changed through reading it. It's an imaginative premise that helps us think about Paul's letter. Paul speaks to us of the largest possible love. God destined us for adoption as God's children because of Jesus. It's God's plan to gather all things up into the divine heart, all things in heaven and all things on earth. This insight into the distinction between the children of our bodies and children adopted is important here. Anyone who has given birth knows the terrifying grip of the fiercest love imaginable. No force on earth can match it. But we know that at first, at least, we do not feel for other children the same way we feel for the children of our bodies. This frightens us because we know that other people and need to know that other people love our children the same way we love our children, right? And they recognize how special these children are. And so because we get it, we get the difference, we're afraid. But if we let God's grace work its miracles in us, over time, our hearts grow. They grow bigger. They grow big enough to adopt other children. And we do come to feel this same intensity of love for other children. You know, our kids are royalty by the mere fact of their birth. But adopted children really are chosen, miracles of divine grace. It is life's greatest blessing to come into this knowledge, because this is the love that conquers fear. Now we have the assurance that other people can indeed know, love, and care for our children. Ethan Tillman wrote beautifully about this, first in the Chapel Hill newspaper and in yesterday's Raleigh News and Observer. You can find his column on the editorial page. He's a sixth grade middle school teacher in Lenoir County, North Carolina. He writes, "My kids look to me not just to teach them, but as an example of a responsible, loving, professional black man. Nationally, just 2% of teachers are black men. That means for most of my mostly African-American students, I'm the only African-American male teacher they will ever have. Great teachers come from all backgrounds, but I know that my presence means something special to these kids. Their faces light up when they look to the sidelines of a rec league basketball game and they see me sitting there. They rush to the windows of the buses on Friday afternoon to wish me a good weekend. They linger behind in my classroom long after classes switch. They challenge me with misbehavior to feel the comforting familiarity of my consistently high expectations. They ask about my family and my upbringing as they seek to know who I am and why they matter so much to me." Do you hear the echoes of adoption and holiness? I do. As we crack the door of this insight ever wider, we can receive Paul's love letter and imagine a world where, because of the fierce intensity of God's love for the begotten Christ, this chosenness now expands to all children according to the richness of his grace lavished on us. We are invited into a life not without direction or meaning, but full of the richest hope, the most expansive forgiveness, the most tenacious engagement, a life almost too rich for us, but it is for us. We are the recipients of a love so besotted, so inventive, so resourceful, that it seeks to gather up everything into itself, all things on earth and all things in heaven. Once we think of our children, it's clear. Holiness is not something you strive like crazy to be or do. It isn't some odd spiritual way of behaving. This specialness is all grace. It's a free gift, God's free gift for you. Just as specialness is a free gift you give to your own children. I know your children and mine will never fully comprehend it. I also know that you do. And more than anything, you want them to trust your love. So too can you trust this love in Paul's letter. You've been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world for adoption as his own children because of Jesus. Live into this gift of a new year, knowing the blessing you are to God and to one another. Let us pray. Of the United Church of Christ, you are welcome here if you are married. You are welcome here if you're single, for we will partner with you. You are welcome here if you are a parent, and you are welcome here if you are the child of one, for we will be family to you. No matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter who you call family or the content of your story, whether your heart is weighed down or whether you are full of light, you are welcome here.